I am so excited to share with you this evening. I think we have a really important topic. So let's pray together and let's dive into our text. Heavenly Father, we gather this evening in your name, hoping for your help. Lord, as we open the Bible, we ask that you would please be our teacher. And that the message that Scripture teaches would convict us and call us closer to you, in Jesus' name, amen. Over the last several evenings, we have made a case. Revelation 12, verse 17, introduces kind of the final crisis. So we've looked at this, and we're going to look at it again. If you have a Bible, if you got one of the seminar Bibles, I'll call out the page numbers. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 says that the dragon, I'm going to be reading the New King James, Revelation 12, verse 17, the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here we see, again, this is kind of the launching pad to the final crisis. And it says the dragon, Satan, angry with the woman, the people of God, who are committed to the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the testimony of all the prophets about Jesus. Now, as we have seen before, look at Revelation 14, verse 12. This is kind of the conclusion of the crisis. The crisis, of course, is the challenge that the beast gives, this counterfeit version of Jesus gives, to worship himself. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So we have the introduction to the crisis, the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. We have the conclusion to the crisis. This requires patient endurance on behalf of God's people who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Now, in the middle of this, we have what we call the three angels' messages. And I indicated last night, but the sun had set, and you can see the three angels there a lot better this evening. And they look actually, I think, very beautiful in this light. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 11, we have the three angels' messages. And as I mentioned last night, that's the reason this church exists. That's why Pastor Zach said, this is a message that we're glad you're here to hear. This is a message that we actually think the whole world needs to hear. In fact, it's not just us that thinks that. It's actually God that thinks the whole world needs to hear this. Look at Revelation 14, verse 6. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So God says this is a message for every nation, every language, every tribe, every person on the planet. Now, the message then is, as we studied last night, saying, so it's a gospel message for everyone saying, fear God, proper reverence for God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment, what? Has come. And worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. And we spent an hour last night talking about that, so I'll be careful not to do that again tonight. Chapter 14, verse 8 gives us the second angel's message. And I have to tell you, when you first hear it, it sounds kind of weird. You're like, what is this talking about? I mean, it literally feels like it's just kind of coming out of nowhere. There's been no warm-up to this. At least it doesn't feel like it in the book of Revelation. Another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What is this talking about? Babylon, who is Babylon? is fallen. What does that mean? This verse just kind of, I don't know how it sits with you, but as I'm reading along and I just read it, it just seems to be kind of out of nowhere. I mean, the first angel's message, that seems to make sense, right? It's about the gospel going to everybody. That's kind of, that makes sense, doesn't it? It's about reverencing God and giving Him glory. That kind of makes sense. It's about worshiping Him as the Creator. That makes sense. The hour, because it's the judgment time. All of that kind of makes sense. Babylon is fallen, at least to many people's ear. It seems kind of just like, what is this talking about? We need to spend a little time to understand it. And I have to tell you, if you've been a part of this kind of church for a long time, you're going to learn something new. And if this is your first time here, you're probably going to learn something new as well. Babylon, according to Revelation 18, verse 4, is a place where God's people have been taken captive. Look there, Revelation 18, verse 4. Revelation 18, verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. What's the next phrase? My people. Lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. Babylon was the name of an ancient city in Iraq. And it came to symbolize a lot of things, and I don't want to say too much right now because I don't want to give it all away. But Babylon, in this text, is a place where God's people are, and they are there as spiritual captives. And God sends a message in Revelation 18, verse 4, to come out of Babylon. So the first thing that we learn is Babylon is a city where God's people are, and God is calling them out of that city. Now, we're reading this in the book of Revelation. This is in New Testament times. But the Old Testament, Babylon plays, in the Old Testament, Babylon plays a very, very significant role. But to understand that significant role, we actually have to go on quite a long, somewhat circuitous route to kind of understand it. But once you get the big idea, then Revelation 14, verse 8 is just going to, the light is going to turn on. So, are you willing to go with me this evening on a little journey through Old Testament text and Old Testament thinking to understand who and what Babylon is? Are you willing to do that? Okay, excellent, excellent. We need to start in the beginning, and we need to start with a fundamental concept, and that fundamental concept is this concept of a covenant relationship with God, a covenant relationship with God. Now, I have a wife, and her name is Becky, and my wife, before she was my wife, she was my fiancé, and before she was my fiancé, she was my girlfriend. What is the difference between a girlfriend or a boyfriend and a husband and a wife? What's the difference? Okay, she says commitment. Okay, have you ever met boyfriends and girlfriends that were pretty committed? Yeah. I would say it's a special kind of commitment. It is a covenant commitment. Okay, so you have a man and a woman, they're standing at the altar, and they're looking starry-eyed into each other's eyes, and at that moment where they're looking at each other before they've said their vows, they are boyfriend and girlfriend. And when the man looks into her eyes and says, you know, I'm going to be all that I need to be, and I'm committed to you till death do us part, so help me God. And then she looks at him and says, I'm going to be all that you need me to be. I'm going to be committed to you till death do us part. So help me, God. And at that moment, the moment of that pledge to one another, they have entered into a covenant relationship. And there is a massive difference between a boyfriend and a girlfriend and a husband and wife. And that difference is covenants. The relationship that God has with His people is a covenant relationship, and covenant relationships, what makes them unique over just any other kind of relationship, is that there is a legal framework, there are legal boundaries, right? I mean, if you're living with your boyfriend or you're living with your girlfriend and he or she decides to walk out, what happens? Nothing, right? But if my wife, if I decided to leave my wife, what would happen? She would get alimony, right? She would get half the stuff. She would. There would be legal repercussions. And so as we read through the Bible, we see that God enters into covenant relationships with his people. And those covenant relationships are relationships of love, just like a marriage. Man, I love my wife. She's wonderful. I'm so grateful to God for her. I love her passionately. But there are definitely rules in the relationship. There are definitely boundaries, right? Like, I love my wife and not your wife. Like, that's a boundary. Amen? Okay. So at creation, God created the world and he created Adam and Eve. You can go there, Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, God creates a covenant boundary. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. It's a covenant boundary. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die. So notice, God and Adam and Eve were in a relationship, but that relationship had a boundary to it. Do you follow me here this morning? Or evening. I've been preaching all day. That relationship had a boundary, and when Adam and Eve followed the serpent and broke that covenant boundary, I want you to notice what happened. Genesis 3, verse 14, 15, 16. We'll start in 16. He said to the woman, I will multiply your sorrow in your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. The key word in that little section of Scripture, and I hate to even use the word, but it is cursed. Now what happens here, and we're going to see a pattern. We're going to see a pattern all throughout the Old Testament. When people lived within a covenant relationship with God, they are blessed. When they break out of covenant relationship with God, they are cursed. And the ultimate curse is exile. Follow me now. It is exile from God's presence. So God gives Adam a long list of curses, an evil list of curses. And then what does he do with them? He exiles them from the Garden of Eden. Are you following me here this evening? Man, that was weak sauce. Are you following me? Okay. Adam and Eve, covenant relationship with God. In that covenant relationship, they're blessed. If they break out of that covenant relationship, then they are cursed, and the curse culminates in exile from God's presence and death. Now, by way of illustration, go with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to look in verse 36 and 37. Deuteronomy 28, 36 and 37. Okay, now what God is saying here is basically, if you break my law and you violate my covenant relationship, the Lord will bring you and the king that you have set over you to a nation that you neither that excuse me, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you will serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become astonishment, a proverb and a byword among the nations where the Lord will drive you. Do you follow this? In the context of Deuteronomy 28, it's if you break out of your covenant relationship with God, God is going to take you and your king, and you're going to be taken captive by another nation. And instead of being this great and glorious nation for the people of God, you are going to become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among the nations. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 spells this out in extremely clear language. Leviticus just precedes Deuteronomy, well, Numbers, and then Leviticus, if you're going backwards. Leviticus 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Let's start in verse 3. This really spells it out clearly. That's page 119. Leviticus 26. If you walk in my statutes and keep my covenant and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the vintage, and the vintage shall last to the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beast, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall by the sword. I mean, that's a really great promise, right? You live in covenant with me, I'm going to bless you in every way. I'm going to give you food and abundant crops, and your enemies are going to be banished. Verse 9, I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant. Now notice, skipping to verse 14, if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, if you despise my statutes or your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease, fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you and your enemies, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues. And it just goes from there, from bad to worse. All right, let's make this plain. God created Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden in a covenant relationship with him, and he asked Adam and Eve to live within the bounds of that covenant. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as long as you live within the boundaries of that covenant, you will be blessed. But when you step out of the bounds of that covenant, you're going to have pain in childbirth. Men, you're going to work all day long for less than you deserve, less than you want. It's going to be sweat and hard labor, and ultimately, you're going to die and be exiled from the presence of God. And that concept of blessing in covenant and curse outside of covenant is communicated all throughout the Old Testament. Leviticus 26, if you are faithful to me and live within my boundaries, the rains are going to pour down on you, your crops are going to grow, you're going to have plenty of wine in your vineyards, you're going to have food, you're going to have, your enemies are going to be banished, the wild beasts that would normally attack are gone, you're going to have family and wealth, and everything's going to be glory. But if you reject me and break my commandments, then you will suffer judgments. And kind of the capstone of the judgment is exile. Your enemies come and take you captive, and you live underneath their yoke. Now, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 25, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 25, that will be around page 757. Jeremiah 25, verse 1. Jeremiah 25, 755, excuse me, verse 1. God's people have been wandering from God's side. They have been breaking out of covenant relationship with Him. Jeremiah has been ministering to them, trying to get them back before it's too late. And let's just start reading there, Jeremiah 25, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of who? Okay. Which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, now listen to this. This is an amazing sermon. This sermon is absolutely epic. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, which is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. Now, you hear what he's saying. From the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, to this day, the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, I have been speaking to you rising early in the morning, and you have not listened. I mean, can you imagine your pastor stands up, next weekend and says, I've been your pastor for 20 years. I've been preaching every single week. I've been ministering to you. I've been serving you. And not one of you has ever listened to a single thing I have ever said. I mean, that's what Jeremiah is saying. Verse 4. And the Lord has sent you all his prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. Verse 5, they said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and to your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. That's idolatry. I will not harm you. Oh, you hear the passion. Jeremiah's like, it's not just me. All the prophets have been pleading. All the prophets have been begging. They've all been pleading. Stop worshiping false gods. Stop indulging in idolatry. Come back to the true God, and you will live in your land safely. Verse 7. Yet, you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hand. Now listen to this. Listen to this. To your own hurt. Wow. When we rebel against God's will and ways in our lives, we hurt ourselves. Verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against all these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And listen to these. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. How long? 70 years. Now, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, I really want to help us understand here. God built us from Adam and Eve to this day to live in covenant relationship with Him. Not a lame boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah, God, I'm interested in God here and there. God's interested in me. No, no, no. He's interested in, boom, lock solid covenant commitment, relationship with boundaries. And when we live in that relationship, we flourish and we're blessed and we prosper. And when we break out of that covenant relationship, we don't flourish and we receive judgment. That story of the Old Testament, by the way, if you've ever read, that is the story of the Old Testament. That's it. You might now know more about the Old Testament than you've ever known before, because that's the story of the Old Testament. God's people were taken captive to Babylon. Jeremiah says they were there for how long? Do you remember what we just read? 70 years. Now, I want to take you to the book of Isaiah. So let's just say this. On your way to Isaiah 21, Isaiah is just before Jeremiah, Isaiah 21. On your way there, I want you to understand something now then. Babylon was, how do I say it? You ever hear parents, they're like, if you don't watch yourself, you're going to time out. Right? Any of you parents, you ever say that? Okay, I see mom and dad, they're like, yeah, I get that. Gunner, right? Okay, so what God was saying is, look, guys, you need to get into covenant with me. You need to stop rebelling against me. You need to stop worshiping idols. You need to be loyal to me. Otherwise, the Babylonians are going to come and take you captive and you're going to be stuck there for 70 years. So Babylon, look, they didn't listen, and they did go into captivity, and they were stuck in Babylon for 70 years. Now, just imagine, all right? It's hard for us to imagine how painful that would be, okay? Imagine, it's hard to even give an illustration of this. Imagine if America was in rebellion against God. Not hard to imagine that. And God sent us a message, you get your lives straightened out or you are going to be taken captive to Mexico. And we just kept doing our thing. And all of a sudden, Mexico came across. They killed all of our parents and they killed all of the elderly and they marched us all captives to live in tent cities in Mexico. And we were stuck there for 70 years. Can you imagine how that would affect your psyche? Can you imagine? What would you be thinking that whole 70 years? That was a bad decision to get out of harmony with God. Right? It's time to get our hearts right with God. And maybe God will, at the end of that 70 years, rescue us. Isaiah 21, we're going to begin in verse 6. For thus says the Lord to me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. Okay, a watchman is a person who stands on the walls of a city looking out into the distance, looking and watching for trouble. The watchman's on the wall. He's looking. He's looking off in the distance. What is coming our way? And he saw, what does he see? He sees a chariot with pair of horsemen, a chariot of donkeys, a chariot of camels. And he listened earnestly with great care. Then he cried, a lion, my lord. I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime. I have sat at my post every night. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. Now, we're going to pause right here. What kind of people had chariots? And what kind of people had chariots advancing together in large groups? What what would you guess that would be? That would be a military power, wouldn't you agree? You've got the watchman standing on the wall of the city, and he's looking out. What's going on here? What do you see? And he hears. You ever hear, I grew up in South Dakota, cattle country, horse country. You ever hear the sound of lots of quadrupeds running? The thunder of cattle. He looks off in the distance. He sees the horses. He sees the camels. He sees the chariots. He sees an advancing army. And what does he then say? What does he say? Babylon is fallen. All the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. Now, in Isaiah, is this good news or what? Come on, is this good news? Okay, let me ask you this. If somebody came and took you captive and killed your parents and beat your children and enslaved you for 70 long, miserable years, and then God sends a message, I see armies advancing against your enemies, and Babylon is going to fall. Is that a message of good news or a message of bad news? It's great news. I mean, look, we live in such a safe country, we don't think often about how good news it is when your enemies get killed. Okay, I know, that's a very shocking thing to say, right? But when you have very evil people oppressing you, and then something happens and those enemies are overthrown, that's incredibly good news. So here you have this story. Here's the story. God's people are rebelling against God, and because they're rebelling against God, they are taken captive to Babylon, and they are stuck in Babylon for 70 years. And here in Isaiah 21, God makes a promise that the armies are going to advance against Babylon, and when that liberating army comes, God's people are going to be freed. Can you say amen to that? Go one more text, one more Old Testament text. Go to Psalm 126. Oh, I love this psalm. Psalm 126. That's going to be in the 590s, 593. Oh, listen to this. You've got to love this text. When the Lord brought the captives of Zion... When the Lord brought the captives of Zion, when the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Did you catch that? Oh, we're stuck in Babylon. The Lord calls us out of Babylon. He brings judgments on our enemies. And when we came back, it was like a dream. You ever had an experience that was so good, it didn't feel real? You have an experience where you're, am I awake? Is this real? Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. They said among the nations, okay, this is all their neighbors, the Lord has done great things for them. And then they say, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So this, my friends, is the story of Babylon. The story of Babylon is the story of covenant. God made us to live in covenant relationship with him. That is a relationship with boundaries. When we break out of covenant with God, there is judgment. There is curse. When God's people in the Old Testament were rebelling and not following God, the judgment they experienced was to be brought into captivity in Babylon. And God promised that that someday he was going to bring judgment on Babylon and that God's people were to flee from Babylon at that time. Do you follow me here? All right. What then is Revelation saying? Oh man, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Well, that's all right. I'll get ahead of myself and then I'll go back. Okay. What is God saying in Revelation? God is saying that the church has been unfaithful to its covenant relationship with God. The church, who is the pure woman of Revelation 12, in covenant with God, keeping the commandments, has broken out of covenant with God, and according to Revelation 17, has become a prostitute, breaking covenant with God. And as she broke covenant with God, she was brought into spiritual bondage in Babylon. And God is sending a message to his church that he loves. You're my people, and the time has come for you to leave Babylon. Now, the way you leave Babylon is the exact opposite of how you got into Babylon. You get into Babylon by breaking out of your covenant relationship with God, and you get out of Babylon by restoring your covenant relationship with God. Do you follow me here tonight? Look here. Come with me to Jeremiah 31. Since we're talking about Jeremiah, they're there in Babylon, Jeremiah 31. I want you to notice what Jeremiah 31 says. Fascinating text, Jeremiah chapter 31. Oh, wow, listen to this text. Verse 29, Jeremiah 31, verse 29. All right, if you're in Babylon for 70 years, that's a long time, right? Several generations have come and gone, okay? So all the kids, all the people that were little kids, toward the end of the 70 years, you know what they were saying? You know what they were saying? They're saying basically, our lives are miserable because of what our parents and grandparents did. Okay. Anybody here ever said that? Listen to what he says. Verse 29, in those days, they will no more say, our fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. I love that text. How many of you ever eaten a sour grape and you've just, wow, that was sour, right? You know, it's great when you're going to get a bunch of grapes and you're like, oh, these are going to be good, and you eat them and they're sweet, right? Sometimes they look good, you eat them and they're just sour, right? Now, what the text says is that they were going around saying, they had this proverb, there was this saying, my dad ate sour grapes, but I'm the one that puckered up. In other words, they were blaming their captivity on the sins of their parents. Notice what he says. Verse 30, everyone will die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. If you're in captivity, it's not your dad's fault. It's not your mom's fault. At some level, it's your responsibility. Behold, the days are coming. Now listen to this. God is going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was a husband to them. That's the old covenant that God gave them, Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And what God is saying here is, I am going to enter into a new covenant with my people. And the new covenant that I'm entering into with my people is not like the old covenant. The old covenant, even though I was their husband, they broke. Verse 33, listen to this. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws where? In their minds and write them on their hearts. and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And listen to this last line, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember it how much more? No more. Did you get this? God's people broke out of covenant with God, and they went to Babylon, and they were stuck there, oppressed by their enemies. And God said, I'm going to set you free, and I'm going to make a new covenant with you. You know how he set them free? By sending Jesus Christ. And he entered into a new covenant. Listen to me. You've got to listen to me. The content of the old covenant, the Ten Commandment law, the content is the same. The location is new. Did you catch that? The content is the same. God's moral demands do not change. God doesn't change. His moral demands do not change. But what God says is, I'm going to take those moral demands that I had written on tables of stone, and I'm going to write them on your heart. I'm going to put my law in your mind. The way they got into Babylonian captivity in the book of Jeremiah is by breaking out of covenant relationship with God. And the way they get out, listen to me now, is by forgiveness. God says he will remember their sin no more. And by the transforming power of the Spirit, writing the law of God on their hearts and minds. Are you following me here this evening? The church, the Christian church, got into Babylon by breaking out of covenant relationship with God, just like Israel did. And in Revelation, they are stuck. The church is stuck in Babylon. And God is telling them, well, let's go look at it. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 8. I've heard a lot of sermons on this, and often it sounds like a scold. Babylon is fallen. You are bad. Bad people breaking the rules. No. Babylon is fallen is not a scold. It's not a scold. It's awesome, right? We broke out of covenant relationship with God, and because of that, we went into spiritual bondage, and God is going to destroy our enemies. Babylon is fallen. Its days are numbered. Amen? That's good news. God's people, how should we feel about that? We should be celebratory, right? Good news. Unless we're still stuck there. Revelation 18, verse 4. Listen to what it says. Revelation 18, verse 4. Ooh, do not miss these words. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, what? My people. Lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Oh, look at verse 2. He cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. All nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. You hear it? God is promising to bring judgment on Babylon. That's That's the enemies of the church. But the church has been taken captive by their enemies. You follow me here. God is promising to bring judgment on the enemies of the church, but the church has been taken captive by their enemies. And God is saying, I have liberated you. Get out of Babylon so that when I bring judgment on Babylon, I'm not bringing judgment on you. Did you catch that? So here's my appeal to us. The way we get into Babylon is by breaking out of covenant with Christ. That's the way we got into Babylon, excuse me. The way we get into Babylon is by breaking covenant with Christ. So how do we get out of Babylon? By getting into covenant with Him. Hebrews chapter 10. It's our closing verse for our first message this evening. Hebrews chapter 10. You may have heard these words before. We read them in Jeremiah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Church, this is my burden. This is what I'm all about. This is what this church is all about. The Holy Spirit is witness to us, for after He said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then He adds, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and God has promised to forget them, and He has promised to take the laws that we broke that led to the death of Jesus. He has promised to write those laws on our hearts and on our minds. The way we got into Babylon is by breaking out of covenant with God, and the way we get out of Babylon is by living in covenant with God, by letting Him forgive our sins, forget our sins, and write His law on our hearts and on our minds. And when He says Babylon is fallen, that's good news. Its days are numbered. God's people are called to flee captivity and celebrate when the Lord restored our captivity. We were like them that dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. And we said, the Lord has done great things for us. Let's bow our heads together. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm actually going to make an appeal here this evening. You're looking at your life, and you're saying to yourself, am I treating God like a spouse, a person I'm in intimate covenant relationship with appropriate boundaries? Or am I doing my own thing? Have I allowed myself to be taken captive? Tonight you want to say, you know what, Lord? I got into this bondage by breaking your law, breaking out a covenant with you, and you're going to liberate me from bondage by getting back into covenant with you. So tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I just want to raise my hand and say, Lord, you promise, if faith in Christ, my sins are forgiven, and you promise to write your law in my heart. That's what I want. I want that. Liberate me from any bondage I am in. I can't do it. I need you to do it. Go ahead and raise your hands if you say, you know what, Lord? Take me out of any bondage I might find myself in. Liberate me. Write your law on my heart. Forgive my sins. Forget my sins. And make me a liberated person. God in heaven, this evening we pray that your Spirit and your grace would be here bringing liberty to your people. We pray for your church at large, Lord, that has broken out of covenant with you, who's living for the world and not for Christ. Lord, that they too would heed the call to come out of Babylon through faithful covenant relationship with you. May you bless us tonight. We're going to take a break here, and we just pray that you would prepare our minds for our next message. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.